Welcome to the Everyday Vegan Mum podcast with your host, Bryony, who'll be chatting about the ups and downs of raising vegan kids in a non-vegan world.
So today I'm talking to Claire Mann, and we're going to be covering a very important topic, mental health. So Claire is a vegan. She is a psychologist, an existential psychotherapist, an author and a trainer. Hi, Claire.
Hi, lovely to be on the call. Thank you.
It's great to have you today. So first, I'd just love you to introduce yourself. You probably do a better job than I did. And just let us know a bit about what you do.
Thank you. I'm a vegan psychologist, communications trainer and author. And I guess more recently, people know me because of my most recent book, which is Vistopia, The Anguish of Being Vegan in a Non-Vegan World. But I've been vegan for about 10 years. Although I've been a psychologist for 30 years. And I see some clients face to face, although that's taking a shorter amount of my time, and really looking to bring my years of experience around leaderships and groups and mental health and bring that into creating a more just and kind of world in the vegan movement. So it keeps me busy.
I bet, yeah. So what was it that tipped you over to being vegan? Was it from vegetarian, or did you go the whole step overnight?
Well, it was actually 40 years ago to this year that I read a book by, and you may remember him, Bryony, Bob Geldof of the Boomtown Rats.
Oh, yes, yes.
And a lot of our younger listeners maybe don't understand that, but when at this time of year, at the end of the year, when many people celebrate Christmas, you might walk through a shopping mall and you hear that song, "And So This Is Christmas." Well, that was actually an initiative of Bob Geldof, as you would know. And it was called Live Aid. There was a famine in Africa. And he brought a lot of musicians together and all the proceeds of that song, and continue, I believe, to go to initiatives like that. But he wrote a book when he was very young in the 70s called Is That It? And he described working in a Dublin abattoir. And I didn't see anything or hear anything, but I could tell you chapter and verse of what happened. And it was in that moment I became vegetarian. And that continued for the next 30 years, blissfully unaware, of course, that's if you want to do things for ethics, it's totally inadequate, because we save the parents, but unfortunately, we're not saving the children, the dairy and eggs. And it was 10 years ago that I became aware of factory farming in Australia. I looked further, and through that process, me and my immediate family and our dogs became vegan.
Brilliant. So it's been 10 years since you've been a vegan.
That's correct.
So how long have you been working with vegan clients in that line?
Well, when I became a vegan 10 years ago, I also became an animal activist, because I was so horrified by the utter injustice of what was going on that was also hidden from us all. You know, most people are pretty decent, wanting to do the right thing. And we're waking up now to what is happening behind closed doors. And the more I spoke out at rallies like ban live exports and factory farming, greyhounds, canned hunting, people approached me and said, you know, I'm in such a deep level of anguish of not only knowing what's going on with animals, but also that human beings are capable of doing this. And corporations are willing to do whatever it takes to make profit, even at this great suffering and, mm-hmm. and detriment to our health. So the more that happened, people were asking to see me about a particular type of anguish I believe is related to this. And so I started calling myself a vegan psychologist. And that's really developed probably over the last 8 years. And it enabled me to work with vegans all over the world to gather a lot of data as to what is going on in the mental health area when we find out about cruelty, I guess, and what human beings, some are, unfortunately, finding they're not necessarily wanting to be cruel to animals, but they work in a village where there's no other work, and really getting some data on that to bring that to the world and hopefully change that.
So this is where, like you did mention your book Vistopia, and this is one of the first books that I actually read when I converted over to being vegan, and I found it so helpful because I was very overwhelmed, you know, when you first go vegan and you read all the literature, and I was delving into all the websites, and it was horrifying, the things that I was learning. And I found your book was a breath of fresh air, because it really gave me some good insights into how I can deal with all that, as you say, the horrifying, the truth of everything. So for the listeners that haven't read, I would recommend go and read this one. But could you tell everyone just a basic kind of rundown of what Vistopia means, what it is?
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad. If it was even just one person who really got that sense of, firstly, you're not alone. But this is a word I've really created for all of us. I just needed to give it a word. One thing I'll just say, in the last little comment I made, I use that pesky little word, hopefully it will change. I believe that we will see a vegan world in our lifetime. Hopefully means we'll leave it to chance. But I just wanted to add that. After 10 years of researching, I did a very large survey internationally of what the experience was like. But what was happening is a couple of things. I started to see a pattern related to what has been called the burden of knowing, is when we find out about the ubiquitous nature of cruelty in all walks of life. In fact, if we just don't agree with cruelty, of course we don't, the vast majority don't. But that's not good enough, because unless we act every day to not be part of that, we will be unwittingly colluding with the cruelty. It is so ubiquitous. Even put white sugar in your coffee, there's fish products in it. Mm-hmm. So I think but what started to happen is, when I've worked as a psychologist, normally people may be depressed or anxious, and we might dig around for a little while to try and find out what was the cause of that. With what is happening to vegans, they know what is happening. They may have all of others' life problems, but their anguish is particularly related to this. And also, I started to see doctors refer people to me. They said were suffering from a number of ailments. They said they had eating disorders, when in fact it was because vegans chose not to eat animals, or that they had social adjustment disorders because they, maybe children, but maybe grown children, would not eat traditional foods with their family. And more concerning was that these people they were sending to me had self-harming tendencies because they were watching these videos, and that it was just as low self-esteem. And so when they came to see me, you can imagine some of them didn't even know I was vegan. You can imagine their joy when they found out I was. And I realized that we were going down a slippery path in mental health, because once we start pathologizing the normal human desire, horrible response to finding out about cruelty, we're in tricky ground, because there will soon be a drug, no doubt by a pharmaceutical company, to rule out things like empathy. So I decided we needed a word to tell the medical authorities what it wasn't, and also to give individuals and parents help to have some robustness, that they weren't just a little bit anxious about something. This was something real, and it was not something that was to be pathologized in a mental illness. It was normally desirable. So the name I gave to that was Vistopia. It sounds like utopia or dystopia, we might have heard it before. Utopia, a place of happiness and freedom and abundance and kindness. And dystopia, darkness and greed and selfishness and totalitarianism, ultimately. I believe vegans are in a vegan dystopia. So what Vistopia is, it's the mental anguish an individual feels when they become aware of the institutionalized cruelty towards animals in our world. And then when they tell people, instead of those people going, oh my goodness, this is awful, I must stop partaking of this, they get resistance and ridicule. There's almost this trance-like collusion with a dark and dystopian world people don't even know they're a part of. And then the borrowed vegan, whether it's adult or child, says, well, if I don't know about this, if we don't know about this horror that's going on at such a level, what else don't I know? And then, of course, they're called a conspiracy theorist. So the poor individual is suffering enormously, and no doubt you're a telling witness.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that was actually terrifying, the thing you said about curing empathy. And that's such a good point. I never thought of it like that before, that really we do try and quash that empathy in society. And say, you don't need to worry about these animals because they're for food. And everyone goes, oh, yeah, that's fine then. Okay,
yeah.
In a box, and it's really terrifying.
That's right, and it's terrifying for parents, because what is this dumbing down of children in many ways to even feel something? So they're happy with the dog or cat, and yet we also know it is correlated. Cruelty that is perpetrated on animals in childhood, it's very highly correlated with people going on to perpetrate violence, or let's do it the other way around. People that are physically violent towards people in society, it is highly correlated often with when they started to be cruel to the family pet. And so we've got that issue happening. And I also came across across a child's game the other day in the US, where it, like a Lego game or a little one where they had, you know, different shops and kitchens and homes, all the little pieces in the game. And they had the local abattoir and they were getting the children to be working in that. So again, it's what we call gaslighting, this teasing in of something where people wake up one day and think, what is this? But it started to happen so gradually, people actually don't realise it.
We were on the Spirit of Tasmania, the boat, a few months ago, and they had a kids' games room in there. And front and central in the games room was the big, the buck hunter, you know, where they go on safari and shoot all the animals. And I was like, what is this? What is this doing here? You know? So we obviously hightailed it out of there. But what can we do as parents to protect our kids from dystopia, to prepare them for this world they're growing up in?
Absolutely. Well, of course, it depends where the our listeners are coming from. If you're in a vegan family, you and your partner or your whatever your arrangement is vegan, then helping children is really equipping them. Dependent on their age, of course, is children will always be bullied, whether they're wearing glasses or, you know, it's very, very sad. I don't think it has to be that way. I don't think children are born like this. I think they're born into a system of competition and separation and with all the influences they have at home. So they're going to get resisted if they're doing something different. I think we need to equip our children to have some communication skills, to develop their own self-esteem, to give them some words and phrases that they can use rather than them stumbling and trying to defend themselves. Is sharing and normalizing this and putting it out there. There's some wonderful young children, Genesis Butler, you might know her. Have you come across her, Bryony?
No, not yet.
Yeah, a delightful young girl. Gosh, she must be about 12 years old now. In fact, she was involved in the Million Dollar Vegan where she went and had an audience with the Pope. That's right, you know that.
Yes, yes, I do know her. Yes, she's one so inspiring.
We've got these little celebrities, really, you know, these people that, you know, it's help your children to be aware of these people. There's little vegan Ed. He's I met him in the States last year. He must be 8 years old now, and he's on the speaking circuit. These are people that are speaking out. And then you've got the recent climate change with young Greta, who has been inspiring people to take marches. You know, what an inspiring young woman who actually hasn't played the vegan card too much yet. She's gathering a following. She's getting young people inspired and putting behind things. But, you know, she will start pushing that soon and say, hey, look, here's the number one cause, guys and girls. So let's help our children to have these conversations, to give them some other resources and prepare them for this in many ways. And then also, you know, in terms of bringing children home to have tea and that sort of thing, is help your children have, you know, to have all the normal foods these other children have, although I do advocate highly plant, whole food, plant-based diets. And so those children come and have delicious food and they have, you know, don't quote me on this, you know, pizzas and vegan sausage rolls or whatever you would normally do.
Clem answers, it's okay. Pizza for tea, Arena. Yes,
it's okay. But, you know, and each family has to decide, obviously, where we're trying to move children to be the most healthy, and then that's not a junk food diet. But if you're taking children are going to parties or something and they're taking things that is with those other children, and there's really healthy ways to do this as well, is, you know, make it so that they're not seen to be odd with the lettuce leaf. You know, they're seen this as we know as adults, you go to a party, all the vegan food goes first. It always does. And then people say, oh, no, I wouldn't normally eat vegan, but they go for that food. So there's a few tips there. It is challenging, and it also children come from their role models, of course. If they see their parents not getting defensive or resistant, but feeling strong and just simply in the language the children can understand, is to, if someone says, well, why are you vegan to a young kid? It's, well, I don't believe in hurting animals, and therefore, you know, I do everything I can. And then let the other person, the other child, defend themselves as much as the poor old vegan. It's not only vegans who take their values to the dinner table.
You're absolutely right. And I was talking to Laura from Primary of Education in the UK the other day, and she made a really good point about children, is that if a bully or, you know, someone comes up with that aggressive attitude, oh, what are you eating? Like, are you vegan? Why don't you eat animals? Then it's great to teach the child to just go, oh, I don't like hurting animals. Do you want to go and kick a ball? And then instantly the situation is diffused. And, you know, the kids really, they're looking for that point of difference, but it's diffused so simply. It's not such a big deal to kids, like with adults who will sit and debate for hours and hours. The kids can then be distracted and off they go. Yep. And then it just, like you say, it becomes normal. It's normalizing the situation.
Yes.
And giving them that confidence, like you say, self-esteem. And
absolutely. Give it in their sort of language. But it's simple as that. You know, it's because then the other child has to take accountability if they turn around and say, oh, I like hurting animals. Very, very yes. few children, unfortunately, traumatized children, they say that. And they say, I don't believe they were born like that. But and then, yeah, so it's giving them that sort of thing. But it's another thing as well. I know certain parents that are taking their children to daycare, you know, little children, and they may be the only vegan in the day center. And I think it's then having sufficient information to educate. You don't have to defend. There is no argument that says veganism isn't going to solve our problems health-wise, social-wise, ethics-wise, environmentally-wise. There's no bad news here. So we don't have to do it hard here. But we have to have, you know, that I say to parents is, you know, also educate yourself around the vegan space as far as children are concerned. In Australia, I'm sorry, I don't have the body to hand, but it is perfectly adequate to have a well-balanced plant-based diet for children. It's perfectly acceptable. You know, they get all the nutrition. Absolutely. If they're eating a junk food diet, as children who were on a non-vegan diet, they will suffer too. And so we have to, and once we get that, and I've got a lovely reference here for you that parents can get hold of if you'd like to, called Healthy Plant-Based Eating for Children. I searched out before our call.
Great. Yes, and we'll put it in the show notes as well. So everyone.
Lovely. Great. Yeah, absolutely. That was written by vegan naturopath and lifestyle nutritionist is Robin Tutor. So have a little look at that. It's plant-based Brilliant. Eating for children. Her children have been vegan from birth, and to my knowledge, they've never been to a doctor.
Wow. That's testament, isn't it? Because there is that's one of the themes that I found from parents, vegan parents that I've spoken to. One of the biggest problems is it's internal. It's a fear, not having the confidence, thinking, am I doing the right thing for my children? You know, and wanting to do the best and knowing that it's the best, a plant-based diet is the best. But having that niggling all the time from the marketing of the meat and dairy industries, you need this to thrive, you need this to survive. When you don't, and we know you don't, but it's just building up your own confidence as well, I think. Constantly researching and reading and...
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. And even as parents, having a few little things tucked up your sleeve, you know, when people say, look, you know, you just only have to look at the food pyramid. And then you ask them, well, where do you think the food pyramid came from? Well, they talk about dietitians and say, well, actually, no, it was created after the Second World War by the meat and dairy industries to actually create demand so the industries could thrive and jobs would be created. It has nothing to do with this. And get people to read and just, you know, when people are challenging you, your mother-in-law is challenging you, the grandparents, they're only trying to do the right thing. They've been indoctrinated like the rest of us. But very much, there's a bit of research that's come out of Belgium, actually, which is interesting, is using inclusive language. When we say to other teachers or parents, look, we have all been lied to, as opposed to, look, I know I've been lied to, you've been lied to, is it becomes very adversarial and people resist. We know this from neuroscience. It's like, don't tell me what to do. And I think that comes from school as well. People say, why have you done something? But this research says that when we, and I've known this intuitively over my communications training, but now we're finding it around veganism and animal activism, is we say, we have been lied to. You know, we are better than this. Can I share with you that things like the China study or can I get you to watch What the Health? Because when I watched it, gosh, we've all been duped into believing that we need this. And so it becomes, it's not you and them. We're all born again in vegan heaven and going to be all great for all times. And they're going to hell. We're all in this together. And the oppressor, so to speak, are the lies and the corporations and the systematized way in which we've been duped into having a certain diet and actually is causing extreme ill health. We only have to look around.
And that documentary, in case anyone hasn't heard of it, What the Health, that's an excellent starting point, isn't it, for anyone that's thinking about being vegan?
Absolutely. It's and things like forks over knives in terms of environment, cowspiracy, the lies we've been told, capsules. But really, I think a lot of resistance comes because because of this third stage of dystopia, well, if I didn't know that, if I have to accept that my mother, my grandmother, my great-grandmother have all been lied to, that also environmentally it makes no difference, I might as well turn my tap on tonight and leave it for the rest of my life, for the dent I will make relative to the dairy and meat industries, mm-hmm. is people, there's an anxiety because you also have to question everything else. We have to question education. We have to question medicine. We have to question vaccines. Dare be I say it. If people are not even, poor old parents are not even allowed to discuss this. Yeah. Is, but there's safety in numbers here. Come together with the people who really should be the empowered ones, is parents, is come together. Don't fight each other. Where your other parents in the school are not the enemy. We are against the system, really, which is fueled by major corporations. And unwillingly and duped into going along with something that serves other people's interests and not necessarily our children.
That's right. Yeah, no, it's a really good point about supporting each other, coming together and, seeing it as a place to connect rather than to dispute. I know that definitely us vegans have a tendency to band together, and it's really comforting and easy to stick with other vegans, and but so important to get out into the community and share the message too.
Definitely. No, and really refine your own communication skills. You know, and just give a couple of tips that we can also give to our children. Often it becomes a debate, is actually get, when things come out of people's mouths. So say, for instance, people say, oh, no, I don't believe in animal cruelty. And if you say, well, or I love animals, just as they're eating a burger, you go, oh, no, you don't. You only love your dog and cat. It becomes a defensiveness. And then you ask people questions. So you say to them, hey, okay, well, you know, they say, oh, what, you're a vegan? They say, okay, well, before you begin, you know, just so I can position, you know, I don't want to tell you things you already know. Do you know what a vegan is? Well, yes, of course I do. It's one of those extreme vegetarians. Well, actually, it's not. Do you mind if I tell you? Do you see how I keep asking questions? Because when somebody says yes, when the human brain says yes, people lean forward. They've given a choice. They can say no. And then, well, there's another discussion there. Why don't we know? Is you, then you say, okay, well, it's actually someone, vegan is someone who's, it's not really, eating is just one of the behaviors. It's someone that believes in the non-use and non-exploitation of animals. What do you think about, you know, what I've shared with you about animal cruelty? Do you think that's okay? And they go, oh, no, that's awful. And so, well, there you go, there's vegan values. And they go, oh, I can never do that. What is so difficult for you? You know, try to avoid the word why. When we say why, somebody feels they've got to give us an excuse. You know, why? And I think this comes from school. Why haven't you done your homework? and the child sort of says, the dog ate the homework or whatever. And when we say, hey, you know, what? So if I say to you, hey, Bryony, why didn't you come to my party? If you value our friendship, even though you just didn't fancy coming last Saturday, you're going to give me a big excuse because you want to hold on to our relationship. Mm-hmm. The bus broke down and everything else. But if I say, hey, I really missed you last Saturday, what happened? You're more likely to say, oh, do you know, I had such a week. I'm so sorry. Because I'm not judging you. Teach our children to say that too. What, instead of, why are you bullying? What's going on here? What's such a problem with me being vegan? You know, and the other person has to defend themselves. So simple. And so just open-ended questions. Give them to ourselves. So if parents or mother-in-laws or poor old mother-in-laws, hey, and father-in-laws or anyone else, the lovely, beautiful rainbow families we have, is actually say to them, so what is it specifically you feel is a problem? Well, these children need protein. Again, get your facts and your knowledge. Is say, okay, well, that's, you know, I absolutely understand. We would be negligent if we didn't ensure our children had a healthy diet. How much do you know about protein? Well, everyone knows we need protein for whatever. And say, look, do you know something? I used to think children needed a clunk of something and we all needed it. Do you know how much protein we actually need? And so you're asking them the question. They said, well, I just and say, well, actually, let me tell you, because I was shocked. And I think we should all be shocked. It's actually 0.8 grams of protein per 1 kilogram of lean body weight. And most people are overweight. It's and they go, wow. I just say, that's 0.8 grams. It's 25 grams in an ounce. And also having a fact like, you know, it's almost a mathematical impossibility for anybody, even on the worst diet of bread, white bread rolls all day, to actually have a protein deficiency as long as they have enough calories. Just having right. these little phrases, but not sort of there, I told you so. It's yeah. like, isn't yeah. that amazing that we've all been lied to? And maybe it's more to do with the fact that these people want us to buy these products and make these companies rich.
Yes, yes. And I think people are becoming more wise to that. I think there's a lot of other causes that are helping the vegan cause as well. Like you say, obesity, people being overweight, people instinctively now knowing to stick to the edges of the supermarket. I think people are getting wise to that whole, the food marketing in general. So I definitely think that'll support us. So what is your best response? Because I find this always comes up when we're out to dinner or, you know, meeting new people, or even with long established friends, and it's always over dinner. They're never interested at any other time of day. But whilst you're eating, someone will say, why don't you eat animals? Like, why are you vegan? And more than likely, the yeah. conversation then develops into the most exotic meats someone has eaten, or, you know, and it just becomes this kind of circus. So what is the best response to that?
Sure. Well, find something that works for you. And there's not a one-all sort of phrase sort of thing. So if you're with people, you know, you want to partner. People like people that are reasonable. OK, we should be able to tell them about the horror of the slaughterhouse and the testing labs and whatever. And they should become vegan right away. OK, that's what we think. We think we didn't come vegan necessary right away is. But that's going to set a defensiveness. So if you're a reasonable person, so say, you know, if you're seen to be that. Now, I always say to people, you cannot talk about the ethics or animal cruelty when people are putting things into their mouth. It's right. actually because it's imbued. You know, we think if they don't become vegan right away, there is a real problem here. Mm. Is they must be selfish or their taste buds or whatever. That family meal, as we know, is imbued with all sorts of unquestioned myths and assumptions and norms, traditions, going around to granny at Christmas, you know, a nice sense of all sitting by the family fire, all these archetypes that resist a family, even though most families actually aren't like this. Mm-hmm. And so you're coming, any resistance, the person also is not necessarily consciously aware of it. It's just like, this is ridiculous. I don't want to change. Okay. So in many ways, you need to choose. So if it's people you're with or everything, they always ask you when you're out and whatever, if you can say, here we go again. Okay, now we can have this debate if you like, and I can give you the ins and outs of the, you know, what's the consequences of all this is. And yet really over dinner, all we're going to do is end it up. Can we have our meal first and then I'll answer that question later? And yet I'll only answer it if you tell me why you're not a vegan and why you do eat animals. Okay, is that fair deal? Yeah, and so you're back in this, yes. You're a reasonable person. Or I say to people, they say you're just having a coffee with someone and they say, why are you a vegan? And say, again, many ways to answer it is why are you vegan? And say, you know, honestly, because it makes me happy. It's, they say, what do you mean? Don't you think you're a bit odd? Oh, okay, so do you know what a vegan is? Again, you're back in the questioning because yes. most people think it's an extreme vegetarian. They still think it's this pesky, thin, you know, emaciated hippie person. You know, really, they need to wake up and actually look at, you know, need to look at the wider population as well. So when we're talking about ethics, or we're talking about how can you eat animals, they're thinking, well, what are you talking about, you extreme vegetarian? But when it comes out of their mouth, they have to say, well, isn't it one of these? And say, actually, it's not. Can I tell you? Then you tell them. And then you're talking, so don't resist. When you see someone's resistance, it's often not to the ethics. Most people will agree animal cruelty is not right. When it comes out of their mouth and they go, oh, no, I don't agree with that. And so, well, how much do you actually know about this then? Okay. And they go, oh, well, the standards are great. Oh, my gosh, a government would never allow it. Do you know there was a time when I believed that too? Do you know how much we've been lied to? When I actually lifted the lid on this, and I actually saw that farmed animals, for instance, or animals in testing labs have no legal rights like our cats and dogs, I was horrified, which means you can cut these animals up and you can do all sorts of torturous things to them and there's no law against it. Gosh, you and I didn't know that, did we? What do you think about that? See, you're into a much better conversation. Now, a wonderful one when they say, oh, my gosh, you're a vegan. Oh, gosh, I love animals. And they're sitting down to the burger. Right, we can do what's called a trance breaker if you've got enough rapport with them. If they see it like, you know, there it's a very fierce situation, then you wouldn't get away with this. But if say you've got someone, you're there standing at the local kids' football game and you ran the thing and someone says, oh my God, I love your dog, I love animals. As they put into, they're just about to tuck into their cheese or egg sandwich and you know the horror of what's happened to these poor animals. Mm. I say, oh my God, that's fantastic. I love meeting new vegans. well, I'm not a vegan. How does that work? And I say, what do you mean? I'm not a vegan. And say, oh, how does that work then? And then they're forced to say, well, what has veganism got to do with me? You know, veganism got to do with, why did you think that? And say, oh, well, you said you loved animals. Do you know what a vegan is? Well, it's one of those. And then then they have to experience the disconnect that it came out of their mouth. And ultimately they're saying, I love some animals. Only because I really don't, I haven't, it's my speciesism. But if we say, you know, I love animals, no, you don't, you're eating them, you're a carnist, then they're going to resist us. But when the disconnect comes out of their own mouth, then where it starts to agitate them, they get that cognitive dissonance, that emotional disconnect. They either have to say, okay, I only love cats and dogs and I'm happy to let these other people, these poor animals suffer. But they're not going to say that. But they're going to see you as reasonable and not judging them. And when you use the we word and us, and isn't it awful how we've all been lied to? I couldn't believe it when I found out. And then, oh my gosh, once you start looking at the health implications, you see what I mean? You're then in this, let's have a reasonable conversation. We're all in this. And you'd say, look, all of us want to look after our children, don't we? Can you believe how much, you know, I'm going to say it to the parents on the line here is, there's some wonderful vegan plant-based pediatricians in this country, and Helen Rokes, she's a beautiful Dutch friend of mine. I can't remember her second barrel name. I went to a talk with her. I was actually on the stage with her. We were talking about certain things. And she showed images of fetuses in the womb where the mother had been told to eat a lot of dairy and meat products. And there was a beginning of fat deposits in the liver of the unborn child.
Oh my goodness.
Absolutely. Now, isn't that awful? Because the poor mother is trying to do the right thing. And in the beginning, no doubt, it's dairy and meat products that actually cause diabetes. They make our bodies insulin resistant. Now, the poor old mother trying to do the best, pouring down the dairy products, being lied to about calcium, animal products do not, they actually leach calcium from the bones, is the horror of that. And so this is a crime against humanity as much as it's a crime against animals. And so when we partner with people and we say, we're all in this together, let's do this together. Let's come up against these systems that only want to make money out of us and in the process are making our children ill. And let's do something about it.
Because that's it, isn't it? We all want the best for our children. That's one thing that we can all agree on. And this is the best thing we can do because we're protecting the planet for them. We're protecting their health. So, yeah, we just need, if that's a great place to come from. I'm going to try that with other parents at school for sure. So
lovely. Look, I just will just say is for it's for adults, but also, you know, children who are a little bit older. I have on my website, veganpsychologist.com, there's a free 30-day little mini video program that you can get on a smartphone app, which is called Vegan Voices. And it gives 30 little clips of the typical things that people ask you. And it really is suitable probably for children, young as they want to be, but probably 8 and above, where they can be given those tools to have the conversations that matter, all about the question, silly questions. Where do you get your protein? Animals would overrun the world. And so you know, that's a free device you can get online on the computer, or you can get it on your phone.
That's amazing. That was going to be my next question of where we can go next, because I'm sure that there's so many avenues to go further down. So we can find you on veganpsychologist.com.
That's correct. And there's lots of free resources there. I have a monthly webinar called Overcoming Vestopia.
Yes, I love that.
Some articles, some about you. Yeah. Oh, great. And then there's Vegan Voices, I say. And then we've got a related course, one of our it'll be a very doable price for people, is an online course, intensive one on about vegans having relationships. And so this is really exciting of relationships with partners, with family, and also at work, is how to improve the quality of our relationships with people. That will be coming out. But if you just get onto one of these things on Vegan Psychologist and sign up for one of these free things, you know, I won't bombard you with things, only things that are going to help us.
Wonderful.
You'll hear about all that. Right.
And where can people find the book? On your website too?
They can find it on the book, or there's Vestopia, VYSTOPIA.com. And for our wonderful listeners here, if you put Vestopia 15 in, with a capital V, Vestopia 15, when you go to buy a copy, you get 15% off.
Oh, brilliant. That's great. Thank you so much. It is definitely worth reading. Again and again, I found I've read it more than once as well because I love the message. I'm not going to spoil the ending for everyone, but I think it's just got such a great message throughout the book that it, yeah, I need to keep reinforcing that because we are bombarded every day with the opposite, the normalization of animal abuse. And yeah, it's great to have all these positive influences surrounding me as well. So I do thank you for everything you do. You've been a huge positive influence for me.
I'm just delighted to, it's also available in audiobook, but I'll quickly just let you know, is, and I'm just starting to announce it, although it's not out there in the public domain, in I'm going to the Animal Rights Conference in Washington in July, and the sequel to Vistopia is coming, which is called The Myths of Choice, Why People Won't Change and What We Can Do About It. So watch this space. We the more equipped we get to have these conversations, we are going to create a vegan world in our lifetime.
I love it. I love that so much. Such good news. So when maybe you can come back on the show when that one comes out, when the second book goes live. Love to chat.
I would love to. Thank you. That'd be great.
Well, thank you so much, Claire. It's been absolutely beautiful talking to you.
Thank you very much. And thank you to all the parents that are the wise leaders to you are doing the right thing. Stay the course. Right is on our side. You're doing a great favor to your children, the planet, and to animals.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. And we'll talk
again. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye. That was the lovely Claire Mann, author of Vistopia. And I always get so much whenever I hear her speak or read anything that she's written. She's such a positive influence in the vegan space. I really encourage you to go and find more of her work, watch her webinars, read her book, definitely. She really is an inspiration. So thanks again, Claire. If you want to find out any more about today's show, please head to the show notes. You can find them on everydayveganmum.com/episode6. And don't forget, you can also join us in our Facebook group, Everyday Vegan Mums. See you there.
Thanks for listening to the Everyday Vegan Mum podcast. Please note that this recording is designed to support and inspire and not intended as a replacement for medical advice. Please take your own personal circumstances into account and consult your GP or health practitioner for specific nutritional or dietary advice.